find someone, but the question is, who? Is it me or is it you? It's hard to tell until you're hit, but you'll know it when they hit you, 'cause they hurt a little bit. Here they come pouring out of the blue. Folks are run and others hide, but there ain't nothing they can do. And some folks put on armor, but the arrows go straight through. So you see, there's no escape, so why not face it and admit that you love those little arrows when they hurt a little bit. Here they come pouring out of the blue.
That was not Maria Callas. The artist's name is Leapy Lee. Is it his real name? Only his hairdresser knows. And now at the Monitor Sports Desk, fearless Frank Messer. Get in there and enunciate, Frank. You never know who's in the stands.
Thanks, Ted. Italy's Klaus DiBiase won the Olympic gold medal in the men's platform dive tonight, with Mexico's Alvaro Gaxiola second and Wynn Young of Phoenix third. The United States is still in the running for six of the remaining 29 gold medals to be distributed tonight. We've got three entries in boxing, plus three entries in swimming, the men's 1,500-meter freestyle and 400-meter medley relay, and the women's 400-meter freestyle relay. This afternoon, defending champ Hungary won the soccer gold medal by downing Bulgaria 4-1. Pakistan took the field hockey gold medal with a 2-1 victory over Australia. And in Greco-Roman wrestling, gold medals went to East Germany's Rudolf Vesper in the welterweight class and to Peter Kirov of Bulgaria in the flyweight class. Tomorrow, the 19th Summer Olympics close in the shadow of controversy, as one has grown to expect in these games. Athletes are up in arms over a decision to limit the representation of each nation in the closing ceremonies to only a standard bearer and six marchers. Four-time discus gold medalist Al Orter will carry the stars and stripes, but the identity of the other six United States representatives will not be disclosed until tomorrow morning. In previous Olympics, all athletes marched in the closing ceremonies. In horse racing, Quicken Tree won the $109,000 Jockey Club Gold Cup closing day feature at Belmont Park. Funny Fellow was second and Champion third. Favored Damascus, the 1967 Horse of the Year, came up lame, failed to finish, and is probably through racing. Football scores when I return, Ted.
Thank you, Frank. And listen, would you find out for me what happened today with the courageous commandos of Kutztown State Teachers?
You don't think you could live through the night without knowing?
Just find out for me, Frank. I took Kutztown in 35 points.
You know, Ted, that's not the way to become independently wealthy. Okay, I'll get you the bad news.
Good. Frank Messer returns in a moment with the results of the Kutztown-Westchester State game and some less important information right after the Lettermen deliver this halftime pep song.
Along the avenues of my memory, a thousand pictures hang along the way, and each new turn I take provides a fascination in dreams of forgotten. happened yesterday. I walk along and I see Mary's rainbow hanging there in my memory, so I stop and stare a while. But then I see the rainbow is fading, the colors hiding visions of her smile, and I call her name.
At the Monitor Sports Desk.
How'd they do, Frank?
Well, first of all, Ted, let's check the top ten.
Okay.
Right. Top-rated Southern California was idle today, but second-ranked Ohio State whipped Illinois 31-24. Third-ranked Kansas walloped Iowa State 46-25. Fourth-ranked Penn State crushed Boston College 29-0. Fifth-ranked Notre Dame was upset by Michigan State 21-17. Sixth-ranked Tennessee was idle. Seventh-ranked Purdue rolled over Iowa 44-14. Eighth-ranked Georgia meets Kentucky tonight. Ninth-ranked Miami of Florida was upset by Auburn 31-6, and 10th-ranked Syracuse was stomped on by California 43-0. And now we'll run the scores by sections. In the far west, Colorado 41, Oklahoma 27, Pacific 31, Colorado State nothing, UCLA 20, Stanford 17, Oregon 14, Utah 6, Wyoming 35, New Mexico 6, Texas El Paso 31, Brigham Young 25. In the Midwest, Northwestern 13, Wisconsin 10, Missouri 56, Kansas State 20, Indiana 16, Arizona 13, Nebraska 21, Oklahoma State 20, Michigan 33, Minnesota 20, Tulsa 34, Cincinnati 27, Ohio U 42, Dayton 7, Miami of Ohio 31, Bowling Green 7. In the South, William & Mary 20, VMI 10, Vanderbilt 14, Florida 14, Houston 29, Mississippi 7, Virginia 24, Navy nothing, Alabama 21, Clemson 14, Georgia Tech 23, Tulane 19, Wake Forest 48, North Carolina 31, North Carolina State 31, Maryland 11, Virginia Tech 27, West Virginia 12, SMU 39, Texas Tech 18. And in the East, Yale 25, Cornell 13, Harvard 22, Dartmouth 7, Penn 19, Princeton 14, Brown 27, Colgate 19, Buffalo 10, Holy Cross 9, Rutgers 28, Columbia 17, Villanova 21, Xavier of Ohio 10, Air Force 27, Pittsburgh 14.
Kutztown, Frank, Kutztown.
Army 57, Duke 25.
Kutztown.
Well, Ted, are you ready?
Yeah.
Well, here's the score you wanted. Westchester State Teachers 39, Kutztown 0.
Oh, no. Oh, Frank Messer of Monitor Sports, a bright young man who always knows where he yeah, me too. Every minute, Frank, and just to prove it, where are you at 15 minutes before the hour?
Well, that's easy, Ted. I'm on the Monitor Beacon.
Hi, this is Charlie Brown. Are you looking for work? Well, meet your competition, high school graduates. They make up 7 out of 10 people applying for jobs. Now, just imagine you were an employer. Who would you hire? Someone who quit school or one of them? The moral? If you're in school, stay there. If you quit, go now to your state employment service or youth opportunity center. Find out how to get more training. You'll need it. Remember the competition you're up against. Sir Isaac Newton said, more or less, what goes up must come down. But in the world of Wall Street, that's not necessarily true. This is Ben Grauer. For an overall understanding of what's going up, coming down, and why, join me on Today's Business Trends, weeknights at 7:10, right here on WNBC.
WNBC, Radio 66.
New York.
Always welcome on Monitor, the voice of Maggie White.
Every day is another day in which I pass the time away and just live a life. Sure, I smile and take it well and watch the world in which I dwell just pass me by. Every night I think of you.
Get You Out of My Mind, a perfect song cue for the United Community Campaigns now in progress. Your one gift helps many people and makes your community a better one. Give your fair share the United way. And here's some music to write checks by from a man with a rare gift that he's frank enough to share.
So I'm down and so I'm out, but so are many others. So I feel like trying to hide my head neath these covers. Life is like the seasons. After winter comes the spring. So I'll keep this smile a while and see what tomorrow brings. I've been told, and I believe, that life is meant for living. And even when my chips are low, there's still some left for giving. I've been many places, maybe not as far as you. So I think I'll stay a while and see if some dreams come true. There isn't much that I have learned through all my foolish years, except that life keeps running in cycles. First there's laughter, then those tears. But I'll keep my head up high, although I'm kind of tired. My
gal just loves me now.
Storyteller. That's the description of his talents that Mark Connelly prizes most highly. And tells stories he does in his new book, Memoirs, which ranges from his boyhood through the days of his Pulitzer Prize play, The Green Pastures, and his nights at the famous Algonquin Round Table. And he talks about his many friends, including this story, which he repeated for Monitor, about the time William Faulkner, one of America's greatest writers, reported for work in Hollywood.
I'll have to bowdlerize it slightly because, well, as I wrote about it in the book, there is a phrase that I don't believe would be immediately welcomed by anybody listening to this program. Well, Faulkner came out there because of the distinction and the greatness of his work. He was brought out and immediately, of course, thrown over to doing things that no sensitive man, certainly anybody of his caliber, would think of doing, just as Dottie Parker, for instance. Dorothy Parker was a woman of great wit, sharp perceptions, a very high ethics standard, and so she was invited to make a movie out of Madam X. Well, you know, that'd be, I don't know what to compare it with, because the thought's so horrible that it discharges any comparisons out of my mind. But when Faulkner came out, he was asked by the head of the studio, which he was working, are you familiar with our pictures? And Bill Faulkner puffed on a pipe. He did that very frequently, I think, in order to give himself time to think. And he said, well, now, do you make the Mickey Mouse brand? And the affronted producer said, no, we're more or less in the epic manufacturing business. And he asked Mr. Faulkner if Mr. Faulkner had seen any of the recent triumphs. Have you seen Norma Shearer's latest thing or Lana Turner? And Mr. Faulkner admitted that he hadn't seen them, and they decided he ought to see them, so he was reconciled to that prospect. And they put him in a projection room on the studio street, gave him a lot of tobacco to get him through the afternoon, and started the latest enterprise of one of the great stars. In about 2 seconds, the door flew open, and Faulkner came out in a state of astonishment and excitement that he couldn't quite articulate, and he used the name of a well-known deity, following that by, "It ain't possible." That was his opinion. Of course, a few days later, he crawled into everybody's heart when the studio said, "Mr. Faulkner, you are living in a hotel on Wilshire Boulevard, are you not?" He said, "Yes, I am." And they said, "Well, I don't know whether you like to work in your studio office here or not, which, of course, is at your disposal. If you'd rather work at home, we'll be perfectly happy to help you do that anyway." And he said, "You know, I'd like that very, very much." So we walked out and got in the train and went back to Oxford, Mississippi, where he dwelt.
Mark Connelly talking about his good friend, novelist William Faulkner. Just one of the stories in his new book, Memoirs.
The following political announcement is paid for by Citizens for Humphrey Muskie.
Let's take a better look at Richard Nixon. Nixon is the one who'll tell you he's for the working man, but has always voted against him. Nixon is the one who pledges to end the Vietnam War, but can't say how. Nixon is the one who promises security to older citizens, but opposes Medicare. Apparently, Nixon is the one who isn't quite the one.
Don't go away, there's more to come, more to interest everyone. Just stay tuned, we'll be back soon with Monitor.
You can keep in step, in fact, one step ahead on NBC Radio these weekday afternoons with Roscoe and his fast-moving, wide-ranging look at everything that's happening on the scene now. That's what his show is called, Now, on NBC Radio every weekday afternoon.
Thank you.
Horace Jankowski, our Beach Affair. Speaking of affairs, I wonder how the world's been going today. President Johnson made an important speech. Let's find out what he said on NBC News next. I'm Ted Steele for Monitor.
The more we hear, the more we learn. To keep well informed is a major concern. So listen for things that are happening on NBC.
Are you mailing Christmas gifts to a serviceman overseas? And remember, if your package weighs 5 pounds or less and is longer than 60 inches in size, it can be sent at surface postage rates and receive air transportation from the east or west coast to the overseas area on a space available basis. The deadline is November 23rd. Relax. With me, Jack Hayes, 9 to noon weekdays, right here on WNBC Radio 66, New York. Brad Crandall is yours for the asking. Call him, Plaza 7-8866, weeknights 9 to midnight on WNBC Radio 66, New York.